So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday Playoff Edition on Sports Radio 610. Live from Boomer Jackson Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, here we go. We appreciate you joining us here as we're starting to see some familiars fill this thing up. I see Jeremy in the building. I see Shannon and Steve. They'll probably win. They're in the building as we're out in Katy, so we always know they're gonna make their way out. Commissioner Mary's in the building. We got them all, and you can join us as we'll be here till 6 o'clock doing our thing out here. As it's a playoff edition. I'm concerned about Stephen and Shannon's house. As we know, she can't stand Aaron Rodgers. Have talked about him like a dog every week. But her and her husband, he's an avid Astros and Texans fan, and they're gonna be in the house divided on Monday night.
You think she'll keep to herself during the game?
No. They cuss each other out. Yeah, they gonna cuss each other out. Yeah, somebody's going out to hit a Newport. Yeah, somebody's throwing something. Somebody's walking out to hit a Newport. So that one, I need a camera around there. So that I'm sure Steven will hit me up and let me know how that goes about. But no, man, it's a good time being had out here. Coming up, you got plenty of chances to win prizes, including as soon as this segment ends, we'll hook somebody up with our first giveaway. We've got a autographed football from the heart and soul, the leader of the defense, Azeez Alshire. You can win an autographed football from right Azeez here. A little bit later on.
I got it right here.
There it is. And yet you win, Clint will throw you a five-yard in or an out, whichever one you want. You got a chance to win a Nico Collins helmet as well, signed helmet. And then in the 4 or 5 o'clock hour, we have two $100 gift cards that you can win to Academy Sports and Outdoors. So come on out. If you haven't grabbed a ticket, put it in our raffle box. You may want to do so now. All right, let's head out to NRG and hear from the OC. This is a big this is going to be a big game for Nick Caley. I think a lot could be said about him, whether it's positive or negative, after this game. Let's hear from Nick.
Talking about how the collab with you and your relationship is growing throughout the year, how would you characterize kind of the working relationship you guys have built?
Yeah, I think we have a great relationship. I think it's transparency, it's honesty, it's cohesiveness. We're always trying to, you know, communicate and share ideas and thoughts. And I have a lot of respect for him, and I'm proud of the way he's played this year. His best is out in front of him. He's a competitor. He's a stud. I'm glad he's our quarterback. I have a lot of respect for him, and I think it's just continuing to grow the more we've spent time with each other throughout the year.
The City game, you talked about working on the operation and the loud stadium and all that. Is this the first, like, true, tangible test that kind of duplicates what that was like, given the fact that you've got three home games and then you went to L.A. between?
It's a hell of an environment for football in Pittsburgh, right? I mean, it's one of the greatest, you know, environments you got. I mean, it's they're always loud. Renegade will be playing from sticks. I mean, it's going to be, you know, it's a hell of an atmosphere for football. And if you love football, I mean, this is going to be great. So, it's going to be loud. It's going to be crazy, passionate fans. We just got to go. We got to play consistent. We got to have a clean operation like we always do, and we've improved that. And we just got to keep that going. But yeah, it's going to be it's going to be paramount for us to, you know, get out there and get off to a good start, get out of the huddle, get our cleats set, and get ready to roll, for sure.
But as an OC, like, we hear, you know, old school football, you know, it's gonna be old school football. Do you kind of, as an offensive coordinator, you probably would like to change that and shift it and get off to a good start. So is it important to kind of not necessarily anticipate that as an OC?
Explain your question. I mean, in terms of, I like good plays, I like efficient plays,
I like scoring all that, like,
Yeah, we want to move the ball forward, get first downs, and score points. And does that require us taking some shots? Does that require us being able to throw the ball, run the ball? I mean, there's a variety of ways. What I want to do is be able to play clean, play at our best, play really good fundamental football. Got to run the ball well. We got to throw the ball consistently, protect, do all those things, take care of the football. I think it really embodies everything. And I'm not trying to give you a roundabout answer. I just think every game's a little different. Sometimes you go into games and you think, man, it's going to go this way, or here's the ideal, scenario that I think this is how I think the game's going to get played. And sure enough, you're a quarter into it, two drives into it, and things change, and you got to change with it. So I just want us to go out and be ready to go from the jump. I want us to go play our best football. I want us to play with good fundamentals. I want us to play with great effort and technique and urgency, and I want us to, continue to build. That's what I want us to do when we kick this thing off on Monday night.
A little bit to that point, what's the balance of like doing what you do well in a game like this versus finding their weakness, and if it's not something that you really do, but trying to attack that weakness as well?
I think you look at what we do, okay, what our players' strengths are, and then, schematically, like, okay, first of all, personnel-wise, who they have in certain areas, and schematically, what issues do they present? They're a really good defense. I mean, you just start from the front and go back. So you got to be able to handle the front. You got to be able to stand up to the front. You got to be able to block those guys. It's going to be a great challenge. They fly around at the second level, and they've got playmakers. They disrupt the football. So for us, we have our core plays, and we're always trying to do what we can do schematically based on the structures that we're going to see. So, I'd say there's a game plan element to everything that we do. And we'll just try to put our best foot forward here.
You've had some guys come in and out via injury, but for the most part, yeah, I think you've had roughly the same offensive line for the back.
You are listening to Texans offensive coordinator Nick Caley from NRG Stadium ahead of the wild card matchup Monday night in Pittsburgh.
Gel the most and be the most different from some of those early offensive lines?
Yeah, I think they've gelled in a lot of ways. I think the most, communication, cohesiveness, seeing the game through the same set of eyes. Jake sets the table. They've done a really good job. The focus has been on communication, throughout the season, and I think we've done it better and better each week. We focus it on practice. Cole Popovich does an outstanding job with those guys. I think he's a hell of a coach, and I'm really proud of how far along those guys have come. And we've had some moving. You're right. We've had some different people in there at times, but I feel like we're playing our best football, and those guys are continuing to get better, and I'm really proud of those guys.
I know satisfaction is not necessarily your comfort. Is not necessarily what you aim for, but is it nice to see where this organization was a year ago, where it was when you came in, and where you are now from an offensive line standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to comment on a year ago, but like when we came in here, yeah, I mean, all you guys have asked, like, what's the line? I mean, we had a bunch of guys rolling in there in training camp, and we were really we're trying to find the best five. We're trying to find that best rotation. Who gives us flex in certain areas? And took us throughout the course of the year, and I think we're at a place where we've got guys in spots that we feel we're really we're happy with, and again, the communication, the cohesiveness, the time on task, getting guys back throughout the year, that's been big for us, and those guys make us go. They're a tough group that care a lot about the team. Yes, ma'am.
Can you talk about obviously you want to score touchdowns, right?
Yep.
That's the big buzzword. But controlling the clock, how much that means to what you guys do, even if you come in agree with being able to control the time of possession?
Yeah, I think it's big. I think to be able to sustain drives, to be able to move the ball, that's what we want to do. Obviously, we'd love to, I'm not saying we don't want to score in two or three plays. I'm not saying that. But, being able to move the line of scrimmage, protect, be able to move the ball down the field, that's always, what we're trying to do. And taking care of the ball helps too. And done a solid job of that this year, and we got to keep doing that.
Coach, go ahead. How have you seen defenses adapt to the growth of Jaden Higgins kind of late in this year? Like, have you seen them have to pay a little bit more respect to him, take a little bit of attention off of Nico? Just how have you seen defenses react to what Higgins has been doing?
Yeah, I think each week's a little different. Teams have different plans, whether that's third down plans, whether that's early down plans, sub defense, base defense, et cetera. But I think what Jaden's done is continuously get better, and he made a lot of big plays for us this year. Really pleased with his growth, really proud of him, and I think that he's going to have a terrific career. Bless you. And he's come up in big moments for us now. So we have a deep receiver room. We're fortunate to have those guys, and shoot, man, we'll see. We just keep things going.
Pittsburgh has a really physical type defense, and the way that they come and they simulate the pressure, sometimes even send the pressure. How much have you learned from some of the past games that you've played against when defensive coordinators tried to do that to you that you can carry into this game?
Yeah, well, we're always trying to learn. And I know a couple weeks back, you know, I was asked about some of the pressures. We're always trying to work on issues that come up, correcting things, whether it's problem pressures, even things that come up throughout the league that we see that are trends and stuff. We're always trying to get ahead of it. So it's a matter of learning and learning from our mistakes and being able to grow from that, and then being able to assess what each team's doing and put a good protection plan together. And this is going to be a tremendous challenge. You look at the edges. I mean, I think Hayward's playing as good a football as I can ever remember him playing. So they are an outstanding defense, and their front gets them going. So we got to be at our best. Be a great challenge, and, you know, got to go out there and play.
What is a rookie, but this type of atmosphere, you know, the cold weather, playing against a team like this, right? Do you see that old school type of back in him to be able to carry the ball?
Woody's tough. Woody's tough, man. He'll drop. He's a physical runner. He's physical in blitz pickup. He embraces it. You know, I have no doubts about that.
Flies under the radar a bit. Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
Quiet, sorry, word, but 82 catches. What have you seen from Dalton all year?
Yeah, consistency, production. He's a pro. He's the first one in the building, one of the first ones every single day. His car's here early. He stays late. I've said this. I got a lot of respect for Dalton, and I'm proud of how he competed. I thought he competed in the run game all year, especially early. Like, you know, we're down. You lose Brev before we start the season. Cade misses a bunch of games. You know, he's in there. You know, we've incorporated Jumbo, obviously, the early part of the season. But, no, he's a pro, and he's a competitor, and he's a productive player for us. And I'm you know, thankful for him.
CJ was giving you credit yesterday for being collaborative and taking input from the players. When you do your own self-evaluation, what goes into, like, determining what was a bad play call versus – you know, versus maybe just that didn't work, and kind of trying
sure.
to figure out whatever.
I mean, yeah, the success or lack thereof of it. You know, what were any of the issues? Was it a schematic issue? Was it, you know, in terms of how I assess the plays that we're doing? You know, was it a schematic issue? Was I putting a guy in position to have success? Should I have asked him to do something? I mean, I look at all those things. Was it just lack of technique and fundamentals where maybe we got beat? The play might not be, you know, may not be the play, but we can go back to it and we have confidence in it. We just got to go out and hit reset. I mean, there's a variety of things, you know, that we go through, and I try to do that every single week. I don't know, Landry, if you asked me that the other week. Somebody did, but I'm always trying to do that to improve myself and to learn from my mistakes along the way too. So I think that's a big part of it. We're all growing, and we're growing together. We're first year offense. I think we've made a lot of strides in certain areas, and certainly I think we have a lot of improvement out in front of us too. But I'm proud of how our guys have competed and you know, just their work ethic, and they're all in, you know, and I'm proud of that.
You are listening to Texans offensive coordinator Nick Cayley from NRG Stadium.
The last time that a game was played on this field, you saw the wacky stuff that happened with kickers. Is there like a – you kind of want to avoid putting it in the kickers – on the kicker's foot in a situation like this?
I mean, I have a lot of faith in Amy. You know, obviously, the perfect thing is we'd like to score touchdowns every single time, obviously. Got a lot of faith in him. I mean, he's made big kicks, you know, and I'm you know – I have all the faith in the world in Amy. I would obviously like to just finish with touchdowns every single time. That's the easy, simple, obvious answer. So if we could do that, that would be great.
I'm not being trite. Is it, as an offensive coordinator, when you see a kicker have the record for most field goals in the season, is it kind of like, damn, like, how does that hit you?
I'm thankful we have him. I'm thankful that we have him. He's come through for us. I've told him a couple times, man, I wish I would, you know, we could have not had you have to go back quite as far on some of these. But, you know, obviously it's a team sport, and we always want to finish with seven. But I also know we have a great kicker in him too. And I mean, honestly, he's amazing, and he's had a great year, and he's helped our team so much, and I'm thankful that we have him.
What gives you the confidence that sooner or later it's not going to come back to haunt you, that, you know, you don't come away with 7 years, you have to settle for three?
I mean, just showing the improvement we've had from the start of the year to the end of the year, just trying to continue to get better. You know, execution and practice. I feel like the execution's continued to improve throughout the year, and I'd say in the last, call it third, half of the year, I feel like we made strides in the red zone. You know, is it everything we want it to be? No, I mean, it's not. You know, but there's been improvement. There's been definite improvement. We just gotta, you know, we gotta continue to move the needle that direction.
Last one,
whose idea was it to go with Tommy at fullback? What did you see in him? Someone won a bet, sounds like. And then
you have to ask D'Amico that. That's a good question for D'Amico. But hey, you know what? I appreciate it. He's all in for D'Amico's all in for the team. And I will say this: when Tommy came off, when we called the grouping, I mean, you could just feel the buzz behind us and the excitement, and it was a cool moment. And then you sit there and you look at the end of the game, how he ended up scoring. It's like the football gods, man. Like they're there. So that's Coach, man. He's all for whatever's necessary for the team. So
who's the next big guy in line?
You have to ask him.
Coach, going into this week, could you just feel, when you're out and about, can you just feel the excitement from the fans in the city? I know it's your first time being here.
I haven't seen the light of day, Sarge, in a long time. I'm up the Fort Bend Toll Road early, and it's dark when I go home. So no, I don't. The only people I interact with are you guys on Thursday, the coaches and the players, and my family. My little girl's back home, my wife, and we're all excited. But we're also, we're not changing a routine. We're trying to stick to our routine and our process and just play consistent football. That's what we've done. That's what we've preached all year, and that's what we're going to continue to preach. But certainly it's an exciting time of the year, and Monday night will be it'll be a great night for football.
That is Nick Caley. We got to react to Nick Caley. A couple of things. Nick must live near me out there on that Fort Bend Tollway.
Y'all
gets up there and hits that too.
Yeah, man. Y'all hang out in the same streets.
Did Nick just say that what D'Amico Ryan just stepped in and just said, "Hey, man, I want this call. Yeah, I want this touchdown for Tommy.
Let's go ahead and get this touchdown for Tommy."
It made it seem like he ain't know nothing about it. Like, hey, man, your offensive coordinator took it.
Oh, they repped it. They repped it one time during walkthrough.
D'Amico just
show Tommy Togi out the love, man.
D'Amico, that way. How often does that happen? D'Amico just run in on the OC here. I got this one. That was interesting. All right, we'll react to what Nick Caley had to say as we continue right here live on the drive.
Tonight's meal: tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday playoff edition on Sports Radio 610. Live from Boomer Jackson Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, that's right. As we are live here, as the big voice man said, we're at Boomer Jack's here in Katy. The bartenders are going. She is making a hell of a drink. She is shaking the hell out of that thing. Not her ass.
Sorry. Clear that up. Clean that up.
She like she's making some shots, shaking that thing up. And we're having a good time out here. Come on out as we just hook somebody up with a autograph. Azeez Alshire football. You got a chance to win gift cards a little bit later on, and a Nico Collins autograph game size helmet. So get on out here real quick. Injury report just dropped, and everyone appeared to be at practice now officially. Other than Jawar Jordan, and he has not practiced all week, and I know the game isn't till Monday, but I'd be shocked if he played. Really, when you hear high ankle sprain running back, 1 week is that? I mean, that's usually a 6 week type, 4-6 week type injury, and the only people that I've really seen be able to do it is quarterbacks, and that's because they're not really running after a week, so. So Jawar Jordan would be someone I'd almost expect to be out for this game. But he is the only one that didn't practice as the injury report is out. All right, Clint, we just heard from Nick Caley, the offensive coordinator, and he spoke there for about 13 minutes as they get ready for this game. What jumped out? Because he had a few things to say. What jumped out to you?
Well, I'm always interested when the offensive coordinator's asked about the pressures or simulated pressures. Obviously, getting asked about that is there's a reason why, right? The one struggle that the Texans offense has had, and they've had several, but the one that just continues to surface, and I'm going back beyond this year, the one that just continues to surface in big moments is the simulated pressure. And what that means is, obviously, you put the defense, whether they bring them or not is irrelevant, but they put on the line of scrimmage more people than you can block. And so now the quarterback and the center have to decide who's coming, who's not, which way to send the protection, who to leave free, and then you got to hope that that guy bails into coverage and doesn't come. If he does come, then you got to have an answer. And so I'm always fascinated with the, not the question, but the answers. When I hear him getting asked about simulated pressures, my ears perk up, obviously. And not that he said anything earth-shattering, but it's you know, we're always trying to learn from our problems. We're trying to learn from the past. We're trying to learn from, you know, grow from our mistakes. And so it's more of really the same, you know, the same answer, and it's still the same problem, you know. Now, I do think that just their interior presence is a bigger problem for four quarters, but the one that you're going to see, no matter what, depending on how the game goes, if your offense is ever starting to threaten the defense, if the offense is ever put in a position where, okay, now's the crunch time, you got to make a play, and if you've got momentum, you're going to see simulated pressure. So, you know, to see what they do versus that pressure is going to tell whether they can make a run in the playoffs or not. As I said in Tape Drop Tuesday earlier in the week, though, they were – I don't know that you could see it watching the game live on TV, but if you go back and watch – the all 22, they were much better the handful of times when Indianapolis did show it. And in multiple ways, whether they picked it up or CJ knew this guy was coming and he looked at him and he had an answer for it. You know, there was an awareness with it. Again, whether they had a hat for a hat or they were getting the ball out or the quarterback was scrambling, there was an awareness that we just haven't seen a lot this year. So hopefully – last week was an indication of hey, man, they may have some things figured out in that department. We'll see. It was a 1-2-3 Cancun team for Indianapolis. This is a playoff win or go home, so we'll see if that makes a difference.
I mean, as we talk about it, it's a copycat league, and we know that the teams are going to watch what has happened with the Texans this year in most games. Many games, rather, in the second half or later in the games, they've kind of – that's been a way to attack them.
Yeah, and I think – look, I think he spoke about two things back-to-back. He spoke about controlling the line of scrimmage, and is that really something that's important to him? And I'm sorry, controlling the clock, not the line of scrimmage. And that's what – you know, now you're in his sweet spot. Now, I don't think he wants to go poke his chest out about that's what they're going to do, but when it comes to you know, taking care of the football and controlling the clock, all the kind of, you know, a lot of football fans and a lot of football teams, we look at that stuff after the fact. We look at how a game unfolds and you go, boy, well, they really dominated the clock, man. The time of possession was double what the opponent was, and that's how they set out to win. That's how they really design their offense and really – like harp on that throughout the year more so than a lot of teams do. And I think right behind that, what was interesting was he talked about Higgins. And if you're going to do those things like control the clock and sustain drives and win all those kind of important, very important, but kind of after the fact stats, Jaden Higgins is going to have to be a big, big part of it, man. The other
– He spoke in particular about his growth and where he's been going and big plays off of it.
Look, I don't know if Pittsburgh's going to be the team that can do it. And I don't say that because I believe one way or the other, and I just don't know. But at some point in time, they're going to run into a defense, whether it's scheme or players, they're going to run into a defense that, hey, man, waiting on Nico Collins to get open on that 15, 16-yard dig route on the backside of some front side concept is not going to be the answer. Right, and this offense is not going to choose to move Nico Collins to make him the quick answer. It's going to be about those other guys, Higgins, Dalton Schultz, of course. Christian Kirk is getting more run than Noel on the offense. Obviously, Xavier Hutchinson. It's going to be more about can those guys win. So him talking about how much confidence they have in Higgins, and rightfully so. Higgins has had a really good year. We'll see if that carries over from regular season to – the playoffs.
Yeah, something else he also brought up there was, and he kind of talked about it a little bit because he was pressed on it, like the thought of scoring touchdowns in this game
not
field goals. And I think that's extremely important in this game. Like he talked about it, yeah, Fairbairn kicked a record 44 field goals
this season. Yeah,
this season. But I don't know how much you love. I don't know how much you love that your kickers having to kick 44 field goals. But I think it's especially important in this game because anybody who has watched games in Pittsburgh and watched games in that stadium, like it's not like kicking at NRG, right? Mm-hmm. Like. Hell, if you just watched the game last week, there's an extra point that got hooked all the way out.
My man kicked the slider up there, didn't he?
Yeah, Loop is still paying for it in Baltimore.
Hey, that was one of them old Major League Baseball sliders right there. Boy, yeah. He kicked that thing, and it just
– But I hope there is a level of aggression in this game when they're presented in the red zone because to put it up to, all right, man, to leave it up to him having to kick five field goals, you know, if we're in NRG, that's one thing. We're in LA like they were a couple weeks ago, that's one thing. Fairbairn leaving it up for him to have to kick five field goals in this game in that stadium, and as Andy said yesterday, especially that one end where the wind is swirling, that is you're playing with fire in that thing. And we know in the way that the Texans play, like these games can be tight, and some of these games we've watched and said, well, they need all these points, and you don't want that to be an issue. So I hope they're much more aggressive when it comes to them in the red zone trying to get into the end zone, because sometimes you can tell Clint they're good with, let's just take them threes, we'll take them bad boys, we'll take that three, and I'm just saying it's not as a guarantee even with the year Fairbairn has had at that stadium. All right, coming up, we usually do our little Saturday slate here, but we got a big college football game going on tonight. We'll see who will face Miami, Oregon, Indiana in a rematch. We'll look at that.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Coming up next.
Peaches Yulee.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday playoff edition on Sports Radio 610. Live from Boomer Jackson Katie. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's how we plan it today, huh, Tyler? All right. All right. We want to do that?
Peaches Yulee.
Okay. All right.
I mean, it just felt right, you know, Peach Bowl discussion coming up and...
Gotcha, Peach Bowl coming up. That's right. All right. That's all right.
It wasn't personal.
I'll let you get one.
What I miss?
You hit me with another Peaches Hughley drop. I'm gonna have to get.
Oh wow, we're doing that.
I'm gonna have to go for the jugular.
Uh oh.
You know, I go for hurt. I go for pain.
Peaches Hughley.
Well, in other words, he said, "Oh, bring it."
All right.
Say
I think
when.
I just heard that next drop.
Say when.
That's all right.
I'm a huckleberry.
I kind of figured he would try to do that. That's yeah. All right. We're at Boomer Jackson. He's not. And come on out.
Damn it!
And enjoy some good food and some good drinks out here in Katy. Make your way on out here. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Plenty of prizes to hook you up with. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we'll have a winner for one of our $100 gift cards to Academy Sports and Outdoors. That's coming up next hour, so stay tuned for that. A great place to watch college football here, too, man. TV's all over the place. Even though it's raining a little bit, that's not stopping this youngster out here. As somebody's out here still playing Jenga. Out here, even though it's got a little rain going out here on the turf, so good spot.
Hey, you remember them days, man?
What?
It didn't matter if it was raining outside. You just said, "To hell with it. I'm gonna let it. I'm just going. I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's a good day.
My man's building a fort out there for them Jingas. By the way, it's a young fella, a little bitty fella. It's not an adult out there. That'd be a little strange. But, yeah. I mean, he's out there. He don't give two rips about how much rain. He's getting it, ain't he? He don't give two rips.
Nah, don't care. He got shoes on? I would assume he does. But, no, man, plenty of TVs all over the place. The bar is huge. It's a great spot to watch college football. We had a great one last night. And potentially another really good one to two teams who are still playing. Two teams that made the college football playoff, and they know how to win and are still playing, Oregon and Indiana.
You're being a real ass right now. I even played this bet for you because I was like, oh, man, this bet always cheers show up.
Hey, it took me a minute. I'm like, damn, did I miss a question? He's taking a shot.
Just a couple of teams.
Damn, Maroon and White, man. That is son great. Of
where a couple of teams where
well done.
Were they a team like Indiana who doesn't just use money and doesn't just have top five
recruiting
classes? All
right, you can stop now.
All right, and a team in Oregon who'll show you how to use Phil Knight's Nike money to get themselves in this position. No, but it's a big one tonight. The winner we know will face Miami in Miami. They will play in their home stadium for the national championship game. And this is a second time these two have played. Oregon and Indiana. Oregon lost at home. And Autzen Stadium is one of the toughest places to play in college football. Indiana went up there, and that's not that they didn't arrive last year with their season, but I think people kind of really took them serious when they went on the road and beat that Oregon team. They won 30-20. These two quarterbacks, Clint, maybe the two the top two quarterbacks taken in the draft. In that first game, I wouldn't say it was really a lot of special in that game. It looked like Mendoza, the Heisman Trophy winner, threw for, 218, something like that, and he had a couple of touchdowns. I think Dante, he threw one touchdown but had the pick in there, or had a couple of picks in that game. But Indiana's defense was really, really good, especially in the second half. But they won 30-20. How much impact do you put on the first meeting? These two teams playing for a second time. How much emphasis do you put on that, and how much that may work into somebody's favor in this game?
Yeah, not much at all. I mean, I think this is for all the marbles, man. This is win or go home. And you know, I think that was a while ago, and I one team traveled across the country, the other one didn't. I think these are two of the more well-coached football teams in all of football, which, I mean, you can say that about the other two teams we watched play last night as well. But, I don't think that first game, Ron, has much bearing on what we see today. I mean, tonight. I'll be honest with you 100%. I'm not as familiar with Oregon as I probably should be. I've only watched Dante Moore outside of highlight reels a couple of times this year, and I'll be honest with you, I think he leaves a lot to be desired. I was shocked when I heard he was the arguably the number one prospect NFL quarterback in this year's NFL draft.
Some people view it. Some people
if he does come out, I watched that Texas Tech game last week. There wasn't one play that I was like, yeah, that's number one overall right there, baby. Which, by the way, I'm okay with that. I'm just saying, usually when you hear he's the number one overall, no doubt. Usually it's because there's some kind of crazy athletic ability or some kind of crazy arm talent associated with it. It has less about playing the position and more about the skill set that he was born with. This was I did not see that out of Dante Moore. Now, I don't know if it's because it's a weak draft or because this Mendoza kid is really that good. So you ask some questions about him as well. I think the quarterback matchup tonight is fascinating because you got two really good defenses that they're both going against as well. So, yeah, man, I think this is a true heavyweight bout tonight. As I said earlier, I think Oregon has been a as Big Ten-ish a team as there is in the Pac-12. Yep. I think Utah back in the day in the Pac-12, I think they were very similar.
Be physical.
But now all of a sudden they're in the Big Ten, and they seem to be able to match the physicality and the size and the strength, and we'll see how well they match it, because there ain't no doubt about it. Indiana is Indiana has been the best football team all year long.
Yeah, you haven't watched Indiana that much, they will surprise you with, like, they when they play games the way we watch Miami and what Miami has done from a physicality standpoint, they win that battle every time. And their last two games were against Alabama and Ohio State, two teams that you would traditionally think, all right, they're undermanned. They look like the more powerful team. They just took it to Alabama, and Alabama just had to accept it. And even against Ohio State, from a physical standpoint inside, they were the dominant team.
Well, it's the most impressive thing that I've seen in the transfer portal NIL era is what Kurt Cignetti has done at Indiana. Because this isn't about Indiana just winning, right?
Yes,
the point you made, it's how they're winning. That right now,
this is not Boise State.
No. Yeah, we don't need a Statue of Liberty to beat Oklahoma. This is Indiana right now, and you don't, there's no thinking about it. You've watched it for two straight weeks, right? Indiana is bigger, faster, stronger, more well coached, more disciplined than Alabama, than Ohio State, than Michigan, than all the big blue bloods or the teams that the Georgias of the world, they are better than all of those schools in those teams in the departments where they typically are in a league of their own. So he hadn't only built a machine that is capable of winning on the big stage. He's built a machine in less than two calendar years that is better than the best at their own game. Right, that to me, that's what's so impressive. You watch that team, the quarterback won the Heisman Trophy, right? I don't know that he's the best player in America. He won the Heisman Trophy because he gives the credit to his credit. He gives all the credit to his team. But watch how he plays the quarterback position. I mean, everybody knows who they're blocking, how they're blocking them, what route they're running.
They don't make mistakes.
They don't make mistakes at all. The ball is up early. It's up on time. They got answers for everything. They are as clean a football team as you're ever going to see in college football. Period, point blank, and that's not a stretch. That they are as clean and as much of a well-oiled machine that you're going to see in college football ever in the past and moving forward. It's not about one guy. It's about the collective group, and it's a beautiful thing to watch. I don't see them getting beat tonight or next week, to be honest with you.
You think Indiana? It's hard to say it and to think it, but the Indiana Hoosiers are like. If all of the teams play to their best, like it feels like Indiana is the team that would win. If all the teams play to their absolute best, I'm with you tonight. A big injury for Oregon, their running back Davison, who had two touchdowns in the game against Texas Tech. Out there in the Orange Bowl, he is injured. He is not going to be able to go tonight, so that is a big injury for them. But, Indiana looks like a team that is well on its way. I questioned and wondered how good they were. I've got to say I'm done questioning.
I questioned them too.
They seem to be the dominant force when they play games, and that will be a fun matchup because – The two most – if that happens, right, I don't want to just blow past Oregon, but if that happens, Indiana and Miami have been the two most physical teams in the playoffs and since we've been watching this college football playoff, and that would be an interesting matchup to see.
Absolutely.
What they do. What you got coming up in the
fourth? It's going to be fun to watch. Yeah, it's easy, man. We got a rodeo lineup, man. To hell with these sports. We got to move a little bit. I know a lot of people out there listening, they get a little pissed off when we get out of the sports. But that Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, and particularly them concerts that come along with it, I'm all in on that, man. We got they announce the shows, Ron. You got to let me know which act you're going to see. No Bun B this year.
No Bun B this year.
Also, we got three other, we got other playoff games besides the Texans that we will know the results of next Monday when we're on air, so we need to go ahead and talk about them today. So we got the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo and other wild card matchups coming up next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Peaches Hewley.